Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. I hope that you're having a good start to the week. I'm having a lovely start to the week this week, actually. I've had a bit of quiet time today, managed to do some meditation. I have done my oracle cards and they were very relevant again for me today. And I also pulled some oracle cards for a friend that were also very relevant and have been talking to her and trying to support her in something that's going on in her life. And I am preparing for a couple of weeks off whilst we wrap up the summer and get my children ready to go back to school, or two of my children. My youngest is starting reception, so her first year of school, and yeah, safe to say we're all a bit nervous about that. Wanting that to go very well. Very conscious of the thoughts that I'm having at the moment around it not going well or her not coping and how I could be designing my own future reality. And so with that in the background, I'm trying very hard to get a little bit more into best case scenario energy. She might surprise us. She might really love school. And just sort of trying to balance my thoughts rather than going off on a bit of a deep dive about how terrible it's all going to be. So feeling quite calm at the moment, feeling quite rested. Long may this last. So I wanted to talk today about spiritual awakening. This is something that I referenced in the last podcast, that I am going through a spiritual awakening. And for those of you that have been through that as well, you will have some sense of what that means. But pre-December, I didn't really understand what a spiritual awakening was. Until it happened to me, I didn't really have any idea what that meant. And so I want to try today to clarify what a spiritual awakening is and how it has changed me and the way that I think and the way that I operate, and also what have been the good bits and the challenging parts. Now, from what I can gather, some people spend years in their awakening, and actually you can have an awakening, but then you can have several other awakenings as well. So, you know, I'm conscious that I'm several months into my awakening. I feel like it has been hard and fast. And that's partly, I think, down to my neurotype or my personality or however we want to label it. But I do tend to deep dive things. I am very partial to hyper-focusing. And yeah, that's how I learn. And I mentioned that in the last episode, that that's really where I gain confidence. I like to learn everything I can. I like to read about everybody's experiences, and I just hoover it all up, and then I process it myself, and I keep the bits that I resonate with, and I discard the bits that I don't like or that I don't resonate with. And that's just kind of how I work. So in these last 8-9 months, I have been reading, binging podcasts, getting really into quite heavy, deep concepts. I have trained in Reiki 1. I am booking my Reiki 2 training. I have done meditation training, and I'm doing meditation teaching soon. I have started QHHT training as well, which is quantum healing hypnosis therapy. That was coined by Dolores Cannon. I'll talk about her a bit later. She's been quite fundamental in the latter stages of my awakening. Her content is just unbelievable. You know, it's so rich and so different, and just really, really resonates with me. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned to accept in my awakening, is that if I read something, or if I listen to something and it strikes something within me, then I'm very aligned with that. And so therefore I kind of take that on as, yes, I believe that, you know, that is now something that I have that belief too. And I've found that once I opened myself up to this awakening and what was happening, I found it very easy to lean in and accept everything that I was learning without skepticism, without any resistance. It's almost like putting on an old familiar pair of pajamas. It's like, yes, I this content is for me. This really lights me up. This really resonates. This is my truth now. And so that's been quite different for me, if I'm being honest. I don't think I've ever really taken to something quite as strongly as I have this awakening. I guess the only other thing that I could relate it to is maybe getting sober and stopping drinking and all of the sobriety stuff that I've learned and that I share. You know, I feel super aligned with that. And that is personal for me as well, because I've had the experience of drinking and stopping drinking and everything that brought. But there's something about this awakening which is, you know, like, yeah, I can only describe it as like putting on an old comfy fluffy coat or something. It's just, it was meant for me, it fits perfectly, and I'm very comfortable in it. So anyway, what is a spiritual awakening? So the best way that I think I can describe it is, it's like it's an internal shift of awareness, and it's where all of the old ways of thinking and all of the old belief systems and all of the old ways of living, they suddenly just get thrown up in the air. And you start to realize that it's not real, then they're not the truth, it's not real life. And in that, it's almost like you sort of zoom out and you realize that there is this huge universe. And actually, people think that there are multiverses, so multiple universes that are infinite and they never end, and it's all very vast and big. And so I think I've always had this feeling, even from a small child, of, well, you know, there's definitely more to life than just the planet Earth. Like, how can we really honestly sit on this big rock in space spinning around, thinking, when we can't measure most of the universe because it's just far too vast, we just know it goes on and on and on, and we can't go there because we don't have the technology to do that, how can we actually think that this is, that we're it, we're the only form of life? You know, so I think I've held that belief for a long time. And so it's kind of an extension of that. It's almost like now I realize that there is this, we are all part of this one source energy. So, you know, everything on this planet is made of the same energy, of the same source energy. And some people refer to that energy as God, and, you know, obviously, you know, there is this religious aspect. I'm not a religious person, but religion has tried to explain this in its own way. But fundamentally, all the different religions all kind of believe that there is this higher power, this higher consciousness, this super consciousness, this higher source energy or source energy. And essentially, my belief is that it's just all the same thing, that we all come from this source energy that, you know, lives outside of the planet. The planet Earth is, you know, it's referred to in the spiritual world as an Earth school. So that we have this other life, this main life out there, if you like, just to keep it simple, out in space, out in the universe, but that we choose to come to the Earth school and many other planets and many other places to learn lessons and to grow spiritually. And Earth is a very, very tough training ground, right? There's no other place in the universe as hardcore as Earth. And this whole being in this body, this 3D heavy body, it's very different to how life is at home. Let's say, you know, that being up there in space, in the stars, in the universe, like that is our main home. And this is our trip down to Earth, let's say. And so then that begs the question of, well, why would we come here? Why would we come here? Why would we bother? And so imagine if you were one source energy and all the people in your family and all your friends and everybody you knew and everybody walking down the street, when they're back home, everybody is the same source energy. And there's not a lot really differentiating us from each other, apart from there are, you know, there's obviously there's love and there's good, you know, high vibration, there's great feeling. But essentially, we're just all swirling around in this one source energy, and wherever we think we want to be, we can be. And you know, I wonder whether, you know, it's almost a bit like, imagine if you were a white light and you go into a completely white room and that room was infinite. How would you tell the difference between things? How would you tell the difference between you and the next person? How would you experience pain if you were white light in a white light room and everything was just all white light? So I think from what I've learned and what I believe in, Earth gives us a richness of experiences. Everything down to going outside in the garden and smelling the roses, the scent of the roses, the sense of the rosemary growing in the garden, when you look at the sunlight coming through the trees and how it lights up your garden, how you feel when your best friend phones or your partner or your new love interest or your parent that you just, you know, really wanted to hear from, how it feels to have those conversations, how it feels to achieve things in life and to learn and to grow, how it feels to feel sad and feel depleted and frustrated and angry. There's so much contrast in human life. There's so much light and dark. And that doesn't exist up there in home. That contrast doesn't exist. So if you could open yourself up to look from the perspective of everything is amazing and full of love and wonderful back home, but that we are all the same source energy and there is very little contrast and we are eager to learn and eager to grow spiritually,
you can understand why you would want to come to a place like Earth, where you can have all of these amazingly diverse and rich human experiences. You know, when you look at it through that lens, even the bad stuff is kind of enticing for the source energy version of ourselves. And so there is this concept that we come to Earth and we have many, many lives here on Earth. And that actually most of us could be on our 100th or 500th or 1,000th life on this planet, that we've lived many times, maybe as men, maybe as women, maybe as the children of our parents and the parents of our children, and we've all swapped roles, and that we have this soul family back home, kind of on the other side. And, you know, that there is this concept that we would plan our experiences and plan the things, the lessons essentially, that we want to learn in each lifetime, almost down to the kind of, why don't you know, I'll come back and be that person for you, and I'll help you do this, and then you can do this for me, and you know, together we might learn this thing that we're trying to tackle. You know, sometimes we come to Earth and we don't learn what we want to learn, or it's not that we don't learn, but we don't achieve the next level. It's a bit like, the way that I honestly think about it, it's almost like life is a game of Roblox. For any of you that have got kids, you know, Roblox is the game of the moment. And it's like being in this big game, like we're all here living in this 3D world with our 3D experiences. And some of us have more heightened, like 4 and 5D frequency experiences. So kind of 4D would be, you know, thoughts, feeling, intuition. 5D might be, they actually, you know, these people might actually remember dropping down into Earth, into the womb, or they have a lot of mystical experiences in life. They are aware of astral projection in the evening, at night when you're sleeping, so they're aware of going to different places, or they're psychic, or they can see things, and you know, they have all of these, you know, very, very tangible, almost psychic gifts. And so yeah, imagining that there is this kind of pre-birth planning with people that you tend to be connected with in lifetimes, that are part of your soul family, which might be your children and your partners and your parents, and you might swap roles. And some people actually remember these past lives. I remember when I was about 9 years old, there was a story in the News of the World paper, and it was a feature in their magazine, and it was about a child who could remember a life before the life that he was in now. And he was a little boy, he was in Germany somewhere, he remembered a train track, he remembered this house, he remembered all of this information and details. I can't remember the ins and outs of it now, but I remember avidly reading this story, just so fascinated by it. And that actually somebody had investigated all of these things and had found it to be true. You know, this is like way before, you know, this is kind of early 80s, mid 80s probably. And so before the internet, definitely before ChatGPT, and before ways of being, you know, someone had to physically get on a plane and try and find this data. And actually everything that this little kid said was true, was accurate. And so, you know, but there's, you know, we have an uncomfortable, I think society has an uncomfortable relationship with these, I'll call them these truths, but some people might disagree on that, but for me, they're truths. And I think we have an uncomfortable, relationship with this, because, you know, I guess there's a feeling of, well, why don't we remember all this stuff? Why don't most of us remember all of this pre-birth planning and all of these other lives? And the whole point of that is because you're not meant to really remember, because if you came down to Earth and you knew, oh, this is Earth, I'm in a 3D experience right now, I need to learn XYZ, you know, you wouldn't really get the depth of the experience. Like, it wouldn't, you know, just, it's like, you know the answer before you've already started, you know, what's the point? So you sign up to coming to this place on the understanding that you will forget everything, so that it can really enhance the experience. But not everybody does forget, right? And there are many documented cases of people remembering past lives, people accessing past lives, and sometimes future lives, in fact. And although in the spiritual world, people call it timelines, right? So there are different timelines, but essentially everything's running at the same time, which is, I appreciate that's quite mind-boggling, and I can't decide if I've completely got my head around that yet either. But that is what the general consensus is in the spiritual world, that we live in all of these different timelines, but all of these different timelines are all running at exactly the same time. So, but anyway, so people would be able to access forwards and backwards, and they would remember certain things. And even sometimes children will come in and they will say things that they remember from lives before. So that stuff is not new, but culturally, we shut that down. We tend to shut that down. And, you know, we've always relied on science. If we can't prove it, it's not real. Okay. And that's probably part of the reason why we shut a lot of this down. But actually, science is now slowly developing enough that it's starting to prove that there is consciousness. And it's starting to change the narratives of what we've always believed up until this point. And through experiments like the observer effect, which is quantum physics, and essentially the easiest way to explain this without getting really too heavy is that when there are electrons that are, you know, in an experiment, they behave a certain way, but when they're being watched or recorded for experimental purposes, they behave in a different way. And it's almost like the only difference is that they know that they're being watched, and it's kind of like, well, how does that happen? So yeah, there's lots more science starting to emerge, especially in the quantum physics realm, that is starting to make us question what we believe to be true. And so anyway, going back, because I've gone a bit down, I've gone a little bit down a rat hole there, but the spiritual awakening for me was a sudden deep understanding that there's more to life than what I had previously thought there was, or the way that I'd previously thought about it. And that perhaps, you know, I suddenly became very open to the fact that I may have lived before and had different lifetimes, and I started to try and understand, well, what am I here to learn in this lifetime? And then I started to connect the dots on the work that I already do in the sober community, which is helping lots of women stop drinking and supporting them in, you know, coming back to themselves. And that started to trigger, you know, a lot of thoughts around, okay, like, you know, I'm very drawn to healing. Maybe I've had other lifetimes where I've been a healer, and I started to get into oracle cards, and I started to really, really pay attention to my environment around me and the signs and the synchronicities that started to come. I started to see the same numbers over and over again. You know, I still see 66 all the time. And I started to notice nature more. And when nature was trying to get my attention and was talking to me, I had an unusual experience. My father passed away in December, and I had a very powerful experience where him and my mother, who's also passed away in 2015, where they were together, and they were almost there right in front of me in the sky. I knew that they were there and they were looking down on me and they were saying, "We're so proud of you." And yeah, just I've had a whole bunch of things that have been quite difficult to explain, really. Just very, different, very unusual, very lovely, very powerful, very mystical. And, you know, the more that I learn about spiritual awakening and about this whole process of we've been here before and we'll probably be here again, it just, I don't know, it's not that, you know, the everyday things, they don't matter, because they do. And even in a spiritual awakening, I know personally for me, I still can get caught up a bit in the detail on the ground when I'm very much in my fox energy, like I'm focusing on the next problem or the next issue or the next thing to do. But sometimes I find myself kind of lifting up and thinking, does this really matter? You know, in the grand scheme of things, in this kind of game that I'm living in, this game of life, does this really help me to achieve what I'm here to achieve? Am I getting bogged down in the detail? Should I really care about this thing? And yeah, I don't know, it's just changed my perspective on a lot of things. So one of the good examples that I can maybe share with you so that you can understand is taking my daughter out of school at 11, right? There is a tendency, and there has been a tendency of those around me to question, well, hang on a minute, how do you know she's going to turn out okay? You know, how do you know she's not just going to be like living on the streets and, you know, all of these worst case scenario things, right? But on a deep level, I just know she'll be okay. I know that she's here for her purpose. And she has shown so much resistance for the path that she's been plonked on, going to school and, you know, following that path that all of our children pretty much follow. She's showing so much resistance to that. And I think there is a reason for that. And I trust that she will be okay. And that trust is coming from somewhere, and it's coming from a place of a deep knowing, and it's coming from a place of, I just feel like the most important thing to focus on in her life right now is for her to advocate for herself, for her to learn about what environments she thrives in and where she isn't thriving, and for her to have the autonomy that she needs as an adult. That learning needs to start now. I can't funnel her into what I think she should be doing or what society says she should be doing, and then expect her at 16, 17, 18 to then suddenly start doing it for herself. That's not going to happen. So actually, I just see the whole situation very, very differently. And I'm not afraid of all of these kind of cultural worst case scenario conditioning of she needs to go to school to get a good job. If she doesn't get a good job, she won't get the money. If she doesn't get the money, she'll have a bad life. Like, who decides that, right? Who decided in life that that is the thing that we should all be doing? And I just don't buy into that system and that dynamic anymore. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of one example of, I'm listening to my inner guidance and I'm trusting that there is more to life than just coming, you know, having a baby, that baby going to school, graduating, going to college, having a job or good job, getting married, having babies, repeating the cycle. I just think that there is more to life than that. And I just think that there is more to why we're here than that. And maybe part of the reason why we have the highest rates of depression globally right now is because so many people are disconnected from what they're meant to be doing, because people are disconnected from their true life path and the life that they designed for themselves. And instead they're following all of these social and cultural norms, which is to be in a box of like one size fits all. So yeah, I kind of think that part of my daughter going into burnout and my dad passing away sparked the spiritual awakening, but I also realize now that that was meant to happen. And now I believe that I've probably had other lives where I've awakened. And the reason that I believe that is because I am picking up this information and aligning with it so quickly. I'm learning so much so fast, and I'm constantly opening my mind to this new way of living, and there's no resistance at all. I have absolutely no resistance at all, and it's very, very freeing. You know, it feels like a radically free place to be. And I feel like there's no way that I could do that if I wasn't remembering who I really am, and if I wasn't remembering that I've done this before. And so much about the spiritual awakening is about not learning about spiritual awakening and becoming someone. It's about remembering who you are, why you're here, what you have to offer the world, and what you need to learn and grow for yourself. And that's just become very clear for me. And so some of the practices that have helped to support me in this awakening have been making time and space for myself, meditating. Meditation was always something that I just felt like, don't know if I can do it, not sure if I'm doing it right. I keep thinking about the cheese and chicken that I need to buy for dinner. It's like, how do you quiet your mind? So the way that I accessed better meditation for me is actually, I signed up to BreathPod, which is an app where you learn breathing, but it had some guided meditations on there. One of them was about 13 minutes long, and I thought, perfect, that's the perfect amount of time for me because I'm a busy person, got a lot going on, haven't got an hour in my diary, you know, to do this, and actually that's putting me off anyway, having to think about making the hour right now. I'm sure there will be times when I've got the hour, but right now in my life, that's, you know, that's probably too much. And so I did this guided meditation, which was called Connect to Your Higher Self. And it was this breathing technique with this nice music and listening to the guy who runs that app. He's got a very soothing voice. And several minutes in, it suddenly tells you to think about your higher self stepping forward. And that could be, you know, you as a person, it could be an energy, it could be an animal, it could be anything that comes up for you. And this higher self steps forward and gives you messages. And I was finding that I was doing this every night. And every time I got to this point where I got to this higher self bit, I suddenly got flooded with positive, encouraging messages. It was really hard to explain, but it was such a nice feeling. I just suddenly heard all of these really nice things, like, you know, we love you, you are amazing, you're perfect as you are, you're so strong, you're doing everything you need to, just keep believing, keep trying. And just all this stuff was coming up in my head. And obviously this was very early on. This is kind of around the time when I was just starting to wake up to the fact that I was having an awakening. And I just felt like every night I did that, this same thing happened. And I started to feel like this can't be a coincidence, you know? Like, I started to believe that it was something more than just my mind telling me what I wanted to hear. And I think a lot of the key to this is about leaning in and trusting what comes up and not trying to discard it or talk yourself out of it or tell yourself that, well, actually that's just my brain. I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes in meditation I'll think some silly things and I think that is my brain just going a bit wild, but most of the time what comes up I trust and I lean in, and it ends up being helpful and supportive and true. That little practice sparked confidence for me to do my own meditations. And even now I don't work very well meditating in complete silence because I'm one of these people, I think it's my autistic side, I can't cope with the clock ticking, I can't cope with any kind of noise. I will literally hear a pin drop. And that's why I have to wear silicone earplugs at night, because I just have to shut the world out completely. But I listen to something called high frequency music, which is a whole genre of music that I'd never heard of before. And I listen to a playlist, and I listen to that quite low and on my ear pods, and I meditate for 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes maybe slightly longer. And sometimes I'll just try and focus on my breath and just listen to the music and enjoy it. Sometimes I'll have really striking visualizations straight away, where I'm in a boat and I get out of a boat and I walk up some pearlescent stairs and I go to the Temple of Rubies and I go into the Temple of Rubies and I meet, you know, and it's just, where does this come from? You know, I'm in this other world in my imagination, which I love. I love it when that happens, because I feel like my mind is showing me pictures that I need to see, and it's showing me information that is important to me. And then I always journal after those sessions and try to decipher what I think the messages might be, or, you know, what is the gut feeling around what I've experienced, and sort of start to decode it. And so those practices have helped me to tune more into the environment. And as I'm doing that, I am noticing more. And as I'm noticing more and making more time and space for myself, I'm getting more nudges, I'm getting more insight, I'm feeling more wise, I'm getting more information. And part of that information has been do this podcast. And when I meditated on what should I call this podcast, I really wanted to call it The Healing Hut, because I really want a healing hut in my garden. At the moment I have no space for it, but I'd love to have a hut in the garden where I could do coaching and hypnosis and Reiki and write my books and do my podcast. And it's just a beautiful space for yoga and, you know, all that stuff. But then I changed the podcast name, because I thought The Healing Hut, it doesn't really, I mean, it exists in my mind, but it's not really there yet in physical form. And so then I thought, well, what else could I call it? And straight away I heard The Inside Light. And that was it. That was literally it. Just one name, bang, there it was. That guidance was there, The Inside Light. And I thought, perfect. And nobody else has the inside light. There's the light inside and all other kind of lights, but no one has the inside light. So yeah, I think what I'm trying to say, I guess, overall is it's a big shift in the way that you perceive why we're all here. And sometimes that has felt very lonely, because when you are the only person in your circle, in your family, that thinks in this way, you realize that everybody else in your life is kind of on one level and you're on a different level, not up or down, it's just you're in a different place. And that feels very isolating, because it's hard. You don't, you know, who do you talk to about this? Like, I can't even really have a conversation with my husband and say, by the way, I, you know, because he's not very into spirituality, and that's fine. That's his, you know, that's his decision, and that's, it's not for me to change that. But it just, you know, it was very, for a short period of time, it was quite limiting in terms of who I could share this experience with and talk to. And that's why I think I did pick up so many books and listen to so many podcasts and joined communities and did all those sorts of things. Now I feel very grateful, because I've made a few connections, I've made a few friends, a couple of them are local, and they are completely on the same page. And that actually is very healing, because you realize that you've got someone to bounce ideas off, and you've got someone else going through the same thing or that's been through the same thing, and they just understand, they just get it. And that's really nice. Everybody needs that friend or friends that get them, right? So that community's been really important for me. But, you know, sometimes I think when you see issues happening for other people, you see situations developing with other people, and how much people focus on those things, and when you think in a different way and you think actually there's a good chance that you might have manufactured this situation for yourself so that you learn something, that you can't say that to people. Like, people don't want to hear that. And you know, it's also true when you think about health. I mean, in the spiritual world, there is that, there is the understanding that we, you know, we come to earth in this kind of relatively, you know, healthy body, and that actually we make ourselves sick, and we, through different ways, like not listening to the inner guidance, not, you know, putting up with situations that we don't really want to be in, not using our voice, storing anger deep within, you know, there's a lot of there were even books on this. Louise Hay has a book on this. Dolores Cannon's daughter wrote a book on this about how you know, the different illnesses and injuries and things that happen to us are externalizations of what we are not working on or not fixing or not moving forward with. And I think I'll probably cover that in another session, because there's a lot to learn there. But, and probably a lot of this will be broken down into other sessions moving forward, and other other episodes, I should say. So yeah, I wanted to try and wrap up now, because I appreciate I've been talking for a long time. I wanted this to be quite a short episode, and I have a feeling it probably isn't as short as I'd like it to be. But yeah, there's been a few people that have been very helpful in guiding me during my awakening. And I just wanted to, for those of you that are interested, I just wanted to point you in the direction of them. So there's Joe Dispenza. He is brilliant at bringing science and spirituality together. You know, science shows reality responds to observation. And maybe that evidence, that maybe that's evidence that our mind and consciousness play a much bigger role in shaping life than we've previously been taught. And I love how kind of expansive that is, and the kind of thoughts that get triggered from thinking in that way. Another person is Dolores Cannon. She was a hypnotherapist. I say was because she passed away, I think, maybe it was kind of 2013 or something. But anyway, she was the person that developed quantum healing hypnosis technique. She worked for about 4 decades, and she worked with thousands of people. She got them, you know, took them under in hypnosis, and she recorded all of these sessions as well. And she recorded people uncovering their past lives and all kinds of insights about the universe and about the higher or superconscious. She's got something like 20 books. And yeah, I'm only a couple of books into the 20, so there's a lot more to read there. But I am doing her level 1 training course, which is amazing and intense at the same time. There's also Robert Schwartz, and he's the author of Your Soul's Plan. And this book brilliantly describes how we plan life before we get here. And, you know, it explores the idea that we design our life challenges as well as our opportunities for growth, healing, and awakening. And through sessions with mediums, there are very, very moving stories. And he reveals how even our hardest struggles might be part of a greater purpose that's chosen by our soul before we come here. So it's a really good book, really insightful, really interesting. And there's Kyle Gray as well. He's an angel expert and an intuitive guide. I just read his book, Angels Are With You Now, and it reveals how angels are actively supporting our lives, whether or not we're, you know, whether we're religious or not. As I said, I'm not religious. So, you know, that's there's a lot of stories in that book as well, and you know, it taught me quite a few things. There's Rebecca Campbell. She's also an author. She's a mystic. She's a spiritual teacher. She's got a few books out. I haven't read her book yet, but I have got the Rise, Sister Rise book, and I also have her oracle cards, which I love. They're called Work Your Light oracle cards. And so, yeah, I think in future episodes, I will cover, obviously there's a lot more that can be talked about with spiritual awakening. I haven't even touched on things like clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and claircognizance. I am definitely claircognizant, which is a clear knowing, have a deep knowing. But yeah, I'm going to talk about that in future episodes. So before I go, I just wanted to leave a question with you or two that might prompt your own soul inquiry. And that is, what are you noticing around you? What are you noticing happening around you? And how can you tune in more with the universe and all of its messages and guidance? Are you paying attention? Are you noticing things and just thinking, oh, that's a coincidence? And what can you do to lean in and encourage more connection with the universe and with nature? Because I think the universe communicates a lot through nature. So yeah, hopefully not too heavy for everyone. Kind of first proper episode, straight in. That's very, very me. And yeah, look forward to catching up with you next week.